Welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and returning to the podcast is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, I'm back.
He's back.
Nobody, yay. Nobody give me any applause. Nobody pays attention to anything I do. I get it. But yes, I am back. Last time we talked was our Conversations with Steve and Mike thing right after I got married. When you came to Chicago to be my best man for the wedding. This last time we talked on this show. We've been kind of recording another show that's coming up later this year, so...
Yep, we've been doing that later. Among other things.
Yeah, we recorded 2 out of 3 so far for Geekcast Radio 90s episodes. So we did that, and we recorded the stuff that's coming later this year as well, this summer. I am still blissfully married. I am getting back into podcasting, not full time, but halfway there. I've started doing remote control again, the TV podcast, still doing the pullback. We just released episode 300 of that. My wife Karen and I are in the midst of either both selling the place we're currently living in and we've already found the place we want to live in for at least the next 5 years or so. So that's all going on, and like within 48 hours of listing the place, we've had 13 people see it. Nice. In 2 days.
Nice.
So yeah, we have one offer on the table, so we're it's nuts.
So, yeah, as for me, pretty much been, I was doing 3 Altered Geeks a week for a bit, and then I decided that that's craziness, more so because I was cannibalizing my own show, and so I decided to go 2 a week, which has proven to be much better, because you get the 20-minute... usually very hyper-focused topic, which has been with Booth Ninja.
Yep. Altered Geek off the cuff, that's
yep.
Right.
Yep, the return of the show that's not returning.
Exactly.
So, he couldn't make it tonight, and so I was like, you know what? This would be fun to have a reunion episode plus a topical conversation that will probably go after, a little over 30 minutes. So,
yeah, a Teenage Mutant Ninja topical episode.
Yes, because that news was dropped today, and I figured that that was the most pertinent news to cover. But before we get to that, some of the stuff I've been doing lately is, as I mentioned in the last Friday episode, was the SFI.org, the Starfleet International Club, which has been a lot of fun. I've gotten, I think... Now, mind you, I'm a crazy person. When I do them, I blitz through a certain amount of classes at a time. Mm-hmm. On there, and you get a little certificate. I mean, granted, they don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but it's fun. It's like kind of like belonging to another type of club, because they have like chapters and they have regions, and so like I'd be Region 13 and I belong to like. Which is like Michigan and Canada. So I'm in the same region as Dodd. but I'm not in the same ship chapter. And it just so happens the chapter that I joined also happens to have the commanding officer of that chapter is actually the commander of Starfleet International at the moment. Like elected as... So he's kind of got double duty at the moment. And I was cool. Like, how often do you guys update your website? Because I was looking at it, and I was like, it shows the last person that joined was 2014. I'm like, and then I looked up your current web designer, and they haven't renewed their subscription since 2015. So I'm like, so your site just kind of sat there.
So basically what you're saying is they came back and said, okay, you're going to be the new site designer, right?
No, I volunteered.
Oh.
Because I wanted to see my name on there. But they're like, can you show us any samples? And I'm like,
geekcastradio.com.
Yeah, so I listed everything. Yeah, like, Twig, yeah, I'm
AlterGeek.net. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, like, I mean, come on now.
I listed all of them. I it was more so just, you know, and I get it. You know, I'm new. I just started the thing like 16 days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm very new, but I've also got like 28 classes under my belt that are completed, and two more that are left to be graded, and I have about another 14 that I have yet to do. But again, I'm a crazy person, so so anyways, so I've been doing that a lot lately, and playing, trying to figure out how to get a Starfleet uniform, but so I think I was thinking earlier when I saw the news of TMNT drop, that it would be fun to converse about not only TMNT and its evolution, but just kind of animation and reboots as a whole, and how they may or may not evolve in different, either vocally or visually, between different iterations. And I thought it'd be fun to start with TMNT, since that's the most prominent information, and then we can kind of go on from there and see where it goes.
Absolutely.
So today, this is, mind you, Thursday, February 1st, 2018, we got the first look at the first glimpses of the actual Turtles. And before this, we'd kind of gotten a little bit of teaser videos of various actors playing, like, voicing the roles of who was cast. Like, they've been teasing it for the last, like, 2 weeks of who's playing who. So kind of going down the list, we have like John Cena as Lord Draxum, Eric Bauza as Splinter, Kat Graham as April O'Neil, Brandon Michael Smith as Michelangelo, Ben Schwartz as Leonardo, Omar Benson Miller as Raphael, and Josh Brenner as Donatello. And it's interesting. As far as the casting is concerned, and again, it's one of those situations where you can't really judge it until you actually see it in animation form.
Yeah, I'm gonna miss Sean Astin as Raph, because I think Sean Astin outside of Rob Paulsen was a really, really cool Raph.
Well, we haven't had the chance to see Omar do it yet, and so
yeah, I know. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, hearing the new voice actor announcement of someone completely different, like someone I don't even know, never even heard of the guy. I'm not saying I'm judging it. I'm just saying I'm going to miss the other voice actor.
I'm really familiar with a few of the people, and that's Brandon Michael Smith, Ben Schwartz, Omar, and Eric Bauza. The rest of them I've never heard of. I mean, I've heard of John Cena.
Everybody's, I was going to say, if you haven't heard of John Cena, you've been living under a very large rock.
Well, even if I haven't watched wrestling, he's done a lot of movies, and so I've seen some of the movies he's been in. So,
Oh, dude, you know what's so crazy? And I'll bring this back around to Turtles in a minute, but I just realized, because I just watched it the other day, I watched the original Marine movie that he did with Robert Patrick. The security guard that's his buddy in that movie, it's Butch from Gotham.
Huh.
Yeah. I was like, I'm watching The Marine, and I'm like, wait, I know that guy. I've heard that guy's voice. I've seen that. Holy crap, that's Butch from Gotham. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, but John Cena as a villain, well, he doesn't normally.
He did the voice on his video,
mm-hmm.
and he went like super dark, like it was almost like Shredder-ish, but it was like, mm-hmm. You know, he's talking like this, and he goes, "I am Lord Draxum," like just something like that in that vein, and it was like, okay, I can kind of see, you know, crazy, dark, twisted alien.
And Bauza going from Tiger Claw and a couple other voices in the 2012 series to doing Splinter, I'm interested to hear what his Splinter will sound like. But again, I'm going to miss the other person that I'm, again, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not making a choice here. I'm just saying.
Well, it's always difficult to transition from one version to another, especially when they're so close together.
Yeah.
Because we had the 87 Turtles, which was the first iteration in animated form, and then we got to the 2003. Well, the other one had been over for, what was it, 5 years?
Yeah.
About that time. And
yeah, it was almost 10, because 87 Turtles ended in 96, and then 2003 came along.
Okay, so I mean, it was like a bigger time span, and I get it. This is the day of the reboot, and so everything kind of doesn't last long. This is kind of like the Spider-Man and the Batmans of animation. Like it continuously gets rebooted because they have to keep it in the public.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay, so
but it's right. A hit like every time.
Absolutely. Okay, look at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as a whole, okay? We did this a few years ago on Geekcast Radio. We're going to have to do it again eventually.
Yeah, we had a Turtles Week?
We had a Turtles Week, and we had a whole episode of Geekcast. I think it was Geekcast Radio episode 40, just dedicated to Turtles at the time. But from 84 to now, 1984 to 2018, Turtles have never not really been present in any form, whether it's comics, cartoons, movies, to a lesser extent, the Next Mutation television series, the live-action Venus de Milo stuff. Pardon me while I die. Please edit that. They've never not been here. Turtles has always been a franchise, like you said, like Spider-Man, like Batman, like Superman, like Transformers, like G.I. Joe to a somewhat lesser extent, because G.I. Joe has taken a huge leaps and bounds of hiatuses. But Turtles, Transformers, you know, those two franchises shaped my childhood. And I don't know who I would be without any versions of the TMNT. I absolutely love, and I'm eventually going to get you into it, because it's just going to happen. I love the IDW ongoing series. I mean, I've spent the last 4 to 5 years of my life with Joe Reed reviewing every single issue, every trade of the IDW ongoing, the miniseries, all that stuff. So at some point in everyone's life that was born in the 80s, maybe late 70s, early to mid to late 80s, even the early 90s, at some point in the last 30 plus years, the TMNT have affected everyone in some way, shape, or form. And this is just a new iteration, and I'm fine with it. I just had, like anything else, you're going to have reservations until you actually see it happen. Until you actually see and hear Eric Bauza as Splinter, or Brandon Michael Smith as Michelangelo, or whatever.
Well, the thing is like I grew up with the original Turtles, and I remember just loving the heck out of it. And yes, it was hokey, but it was also like dark to begin with for that time. Out of a lot of the animation like that I used to watch, like certain episodes were darker than others, and then it just kind of got lighter as it went. But I love the voice cast. I love the action figures. I actually, when I was a kid, owned all of the action figures and all of the play sets. I was like, it was like go time. I could do like any of the renditions from the shows. But as time went on, and I started growing out of it, and then just as I was like totally out of it for a few years, and I got into things like Beast Wars, which was the next iteration of Transformers, kind of totally flipping things on its head, the 2003 comes out. You know, like I'm getting ready to leave high school pretty much by that point. I was junior year, and maybe senior year when it came out. I'm not sure when, but anyways, I watched it. I mean, I still watched it, and I caught it when I could. But
yeah, you and I did that Tooncast Beyond episode covering that first season.
Yeah, and it was spectacular. It updated things differently, and then you get to the 2012, and it had this nice vibe and meshing of the 87 and the 2003 show, and then now this one is kind of flipping things on its head again, with totally different animation, totally different, because you don't have the CG. Like 3D animation that we had in the previous show. This is 2D animation, again done by Nickelodeon, and it's to be released. I think that it's going to be out in September of this year. I think it's September of this year. It's supposed to come out, and it's going to have a run of 26 episodes, 22 minutes a piece, just like every other 22 minute show. And it does look different. It is going to sound different, but we do have a living legend helming the voice crew, and that would be Rob Paulsen.
Yes.
Which I think is kind of ironic to have him do this, being that he's had such a close tie with the Turtles franchise over the last 30 years.
Okay, so the one thing, and I'm going to pull a Steve Megatron, folks. I'm going to predict something. Yay. The one thing about this voice cast in this new series, Rise of the TMNT, they're none of the... Okay, outside of Bowser, who was, like I said, Tiger Claw in the previous series, but they're none of the original voice actors, whether it was from 2003 or 1987. Rob Paulsen is helming it, voice directing. I believe this is his first directing gig in general. I could be wrong with that. I know this is his first voice directing gig. What I love about this is at some point, they are going to find a way to take this universe, the 2012 universe, maybe even the 2003 and 87 universe, and put them all together in one. So at some point down the line, however many seasons this thing gets, Rob Paulsen is going to be playing Raph and Donnie again.
I don't doubt you're wrong. Or, right on it. But it came out weird. I think that will happen. Because it would be interesting, and because it would be fun. And it would be a good way to tie in old
and new and everything. Old and new.
Because they did it very tastefully in the 2012 of having
the two Krang dimensions.
The two different dimensions and the Krang going from, and then you got, the Pat Fraley Krang involved, and that was kind of cool, showing that he was, cousins with the other Krang, that was from the 2012 universe. And so it kind of gave this whole different level of that, it's all connected, despite everything. So anyways, I'm really looking forward to seeing how this show goes. And they released the logo back in October, which
I love the logo. I like the look of it. I'm not too keen on the name
Rise of the
TMNT. It is essentially like Rise of the Turtles Part 1 and 2 was the first two episodes of the 2012 series. I don't know.
I'm kind of fine with it because it almost kind of gives us new... I think they're going for the younger look, but I think they're almost kind of going for a different rendition, obviously, because April O'Neil is no longer Caucasian. She's African-American in this. Yeah. And they're kind of going for a totally different vibe, which is totally cool. I mean, you're reinventing it. You're trying something different, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you do have to kind of keep it fresh. So what the gist of this plot is that the four brothers are... obviously mutant turtles who go on adventures where they end up tapping into mystic ninja powers they never knew existed while learning to work together, navigate the perils of the modern age and hidden realms in order to fulfill their destiny to become a team of heroes. So it almost sounds like you have a mixture of the 2003 and the 2012.
Yeah.
Because the 2003 had more of the mystic and more of the different realms and more of things like that.
Yep.
And you have Lord Draxum, which was kind of a, I think a villain in the later original TMNT and the 2003. I want to say sure. That. I'm probably butchering that whole thing. I mean, this is Baron Draxum in this one, so I'm wondering if Lord Draxum is... I know the name sounds familiar. I can't. I should have gone to behind the voice actors. I probably would have been able to figure it out. But anyways, he's the villain, you know, a mutant warrior and alchemist who seeks to mutate humans. So it's almost like a Krang type scenario here. And then Splinter's a mutant gray rat who is a turtle sensei, obviously, like every other series. Although, I think we can kind of go to our thoughts on the images we saw drop.
Okay, so I'm looking at them on IGN.
Okay.
Because that was the first reputable source I found. I saw the video, the Facebook Live video, after it was done being live. I saw that. I thought that was cool how they did the interview and back and forth and everything else. So Splinter, to me, travel back to 2002, 2003, folks, and revisit the Disney Channel series Kim Possible with title character Kim Possible, her bumbling sidekick Ron Stoppable, and his naked mole rat Rufus. That Splinter looks like an older, dirtier version of Rufus to me. Like, it just, his design is just too weird.
I'm going to be honest, I'm not a fan of his design.
And yeah, I'm not either. This is the only negative I have to say about it. I'm not either. And now that I look closer at his face, I'm like, oh my God. It's like Rufus from Kim Possible meets Mr. Magoo.
It meets Ren and Stimpy?
A little bit, yeah.
I get a little bit of that vibe in the face. I don't know why, but it kind of gives me that thought process behind it. They gave him more of the sensei look,
mm-hmm.
of, like, you know, your Japanese, Chinese sensei type thing, like, in his face. They didn't give him more of the rat face that he normally mm-hmm. has. They gave him more of that.
Yeah.
Like that hairstyle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess, you know, and then you have April O'Neil, who's sporting a mystic bat.
She looks like an African American Tinkerbell without wings.
She looks like,
in this picture specifically.
Well, I was going to say the glasses look like something from the 60s, like the old, like, librarian glasses from the 60s type thing.
Yep.
It's interesting. Mikey's got his nunchuck, and he's got the funny thing about all these turtles, as we get into them, they all look like different types of turtles.
Yeah.
Which I've heard, instead of trying to make them all the same type of turtle, they kind of went in a different direction and made them all different.
Yeah, and that's kind of the 2012 turtles are kind of all the same body type, but they each have their own, like... Mikey's the shortest one of those. Donnie is the scrawniest one. Leo is kind of mid card, and then Raph is like your heavyweight bulky. Kind of thing. Yep. Yeah, bulky. And this, they're going for different designs. Like Mikey is kind of like party dude kind of thing, and Donnie's kind of like
tree frog, like in a sense, like just because of how like wiry he is. And they've got, instead of wearing their belts around their waist or whatnot, they've got, like, his is around his chest. And their weapons actually match their colors. Donnie's got, like, a purple backpack, and, like, they've all got knee pads and elbow pads. And Donnie's got, like, a face mask that actually covers the top of his head with like, a pair of goggles, and his staff has, like, a point at the end. And Leonardo has his belt where it goes, instead of across his chest, it goes across his waist and his chest, and he's got basically like some kind of a samurai gloves and shoes and like face paint. And then you get Raph, who's just this bulky beast. And then they kind of have the Band-Aid in the spot where he had the damage on the front of his chest. On the original, or the 2012.
Yeah.
They had that kind of aesthetic to them.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, it's totally different, but it's not too different. Like, I thought it was going to be more jarring than what it was. And to begin with, when I looked at it this morning, it was jarring. But I'm kind of over it now. And now I just want to hear what it sounds like and looks like. if that makes any sense. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this and looking forward to it. Now, if I would love
Same
to get
here.
I would love to get more information about it, specifically from TMNT, like officially, and get information from the cast and the voice director, who we haven't talked to in a few years.
Yes, absolutely.
So
2010 and 2012 were the last times we talked to Rob Paulsen. Hopefully we'll get a new interview with him this year, because this year is also the 25th anniversary of Animaniacs as well.
Which is, again, coming back.
Yep.
And he'll be in it.
Of course. You can't have Animaniacs without Yakko and Pinky.
Good night, everybody. So, yeah, I think we'll take a quick break, come back with a little bit of conversation about the other... Like just a short conversation on other cartoons that have had different evolutions and our thoughts on that. So we'll be back right after this. And we're back. So TFG1 Mike had to get off the call. He had another complication with scheduling, and so thankfully he was here to join for the beginning part of the podcast. So moving on, I was thinking about some things to kind of talk about and to bring up in the podcast, and there's this podcast movement. It's a podcast community of, well, podcasters, and it's for a convention that's coming up in July in Pennsylvania. And the kind of interesting part with the whole scenario is that they're doing this 28 days of podcast, or basically a 28-day podcast movement challenge, where they take the full scope of 28 days and you participate on their Facebook page, and depending on how active you are and the completion, and by some way they decide that you basically can get a free ticket to the convention, a free, you know, pass or whatever for everything. So I thought that it would be fun to kind of entertain that and kind of jump in there. I've been in there helping people kind of figure things out. I've been in there kind of conversing with the questions. And the end game for this 28-day challenge is to start a podcast. And I was thinking about starting a brand new podcast, because it's been about 4 years. I mean, I founded this podcast about 4.5 years ago, and I haven't had a new one since that I've physically created myself. And so I've been kind of trying to figure out what could I possibly talk about that I haven't already talked about. I'm thinking it's going to be a subset of Altered Geek. Kind of like how Geekcast Radio has Mayhem Mics, La La Land Lounge, Retro, Wars, the Top 100. So it'll be in that kind of vein. And I'm thinking that I'll still do the various podcasts. I'll still do Altered Geek. I'll still do the 20-minute episodes. I'll still do some of the Friday news episodes. But I might do like a shorter show, kind of conversing maybe about like family stuff, or maybe some kind of a different interest. I'm kind of going through it again, because I've kind of run through this run of unknown areas where I really don't know what to talk about anymore other than what I've already done. And I've kind of gotten the burnout on... I was going to do Legends of the Brave and the Bold and my Dragon Ball Z podcast. And just due to timing and due to everything else, like I'm involved with Podcaster Meets World with TFG1 Mike, which is the other podcast he mentioned earlier, where we're going through Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World and kind of talking about it in review style show. I'm generally not somebody that likes to do the review shows anymore. I've kind of signed off on the majority of them because I just have so little interest, and I don't like being boxed into a show where, funny enough, it has an end game, but I know what's coming ahead. And so it kind of pushes me to that point where I'm just sick of the topic by the end of the run of the podcast. Which is why I haven't really wanted to do any of them. I've enjoyed more of the freeform podcasting, like what I do here, like what I do guesting on Toon Beyond, M-Wire, you know, just kind of, it's a one and done in an episode, or it's an entire series of just random, like any episode could be different. Like that's what I've kind of figured out as my bread and butter here. I enjoy that. It doesn't bother me. It's more in the vein of what I enjoy. So I've kind of gotten to that lifeboat there, where I'm jumping in and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm ready to learn something new. Show me something else. Give me a different method, because I've been doing this for 11 years, maybe longer, 12. And I'm just to that end of that rope where I really don't know what to do if I were to start a new podcast. Now, that does not mean that Altered Geek is going away. I've toyed with the idea over the past 4 years of stopping this show when it hit 100 or 150 or 200. But it's still a passion project of mine. I still enjoy talking tech. I still enjoy science enhancements in technology for medical purposes, for vehicles, for AI, for space, a lot of that. So I'll still probably be talking about pop culture superheroes in this show a little bit, because I canceled Legends of the Brave and the Bold. I really didn't want to dedicate an entirely different podcast to discuss it. It was getting too much. Like the Transformers podcast, that's kind of one of those intermittent shows I do, like either weekly, bi-weekly, or you know, once a month, just depending on the topic that's available. And Future Imperfect, that's my current passion project on the side, where I enjoy talking Star Trek. So when the well of episodes dries up, it will be probably bi-weekly, just because I won't have consistent access to co-hosts that want to be involved. And so I'll be putting that on kind of a little bit of a back burner and putting more effort here. So what would be something that would be interesting to you? I've kind of thought about, I have that card game that I got the Kickstarter for a couple of years ago. And I was thinking, if I had a panel of people dedicating like a 20-minute episode to pitching a mock movie in it, and just kind of seeing what happens. And just, you know, we come up with a title, we cast it, we direct it, we have, you know, this whole thought methodology, and it's just completely original. And it would be completely random every episode. I was going to do it as a segment on Altered Geek in the past. It's been in the back of my mind, but it really wouldn't translate well to that. And so I've kind of been holding on to it, kind of just waiting, not really wanting to get into it, because it's something that takes a little bit of extra planning, and I haven't necessarily had that time. So that's kind of where that goes. So another thing that I'm kind of toying with is doing some impression bits, but I think that's better for video. So I'm still trying to figure out how to get back into that. I know I keep bringing up a lot of this, and it's getting repetitive to some degree. And I hate being that person that constantly changes his mind or forgets, which is why I'm not promising anything as far as like end game for it. But that's eventually, I hope to get back out there with it. So kind of switching gears a little bit. I recently, and this is just personal life stuff here, I learned how to cobble together the plumbing in my house. I just figured out how to basically go about redoing some plumbing for my rinse tubs in the basement where my washing machine drains. And when we moved in, they never really worked right. And I kind of were, I don't know, I'm not a very home savvy person, technical person with anything. I'm terrible when it comes to fixing stuff and home improvement. So it's a learning process every time I get involved. Like I've learned how to replace faucets and sinks and cabinets and certain things like that. And I had to cut some pipe from underneath the rinse tub because they had some weird loop-de-loop thing, and they used that PVC pipe glue, rubber cement type thing in it. And so I'm trying to get this damn thing off, and pardon my French there, and I'm sitting there cranking at it. I've been trying to mess with this thing for months, and it just, I forget about it. And so I went down there and I'm cranking on it. I'm like, this is just not going to come off. I beat it with a hammer. I hit it. Like nothing was coming off. And I needed to get in that trap and dump it out. And there was nothing going to happen there. So I essentially just took the thing. I got a saw. I cut it off. I took the thing into Home Depot with my son. And we chopped it up. Took it in there. They basically, I said, look, I need to rebuild this. They went, they got me all the parts within 5 minutes, and good as gold. I had it. I was good. Went home, put it all together, and then I realized that that little loop-de-loop part that was extra off to the side, had they maneuvered the PVC pipe that's attached to the floor for that a little bit differently, it would have allowed not to have that loop-de-loop and have still the normal drain loop that's in the bottom and have proper drainage. So I removed that extra piece that's always bothered me. I re-maneuvered it, plugged it in, sucker drains awesomely. What prompted this was my wife was doing laundry and it... I had to rinse something off in the rinse tub, and it drained extremely slow. And it normally would fill about an inch in it, about an inch to the top when she would go to when she would go to fill it or do laundry. It would fill the rinse tub and essentially decimate the floor, like just douse it. And luckily, the floor has a incline that goes down towards the sub pump. But it, regardless, was irritating. So we went the route of doing this. Like I said, worked out great. So we're good as gold there. So now I got to fix the upstairs bathtub faucet because it is having issues. I went from having a drip to taking off the nozzle, putting it back on, and now when I turn on the shower part, it shoots through that little hole in the bottom of the spout in the back as a back release, so I'm thinking it's a washer issue. So, point of all this is home improvement is insane, costs money and time, but once you learn it, it's easy. So, gonna move on a little bit, and I've been doing this 28 days or 30 days of Trek online because I've gotten involved with SFI and I've been doing a lot of Star Trek related content. So it's been kind of fun to reminisce and kind of go back and answer a bunch of questions. Some of which being like, you know, your favorite like memorable episodes. There's the favorite TOS episode, favorite race, favorite captain, best captain, happiest event, favorite Federation enemy, you know, favorite character, shocking moment, crew position you'd want, you wouldn't want, you know, time travel episode, first officers, you know, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot in there, and I've been having a lot of fun with it. So you'll be able to find that on my Twitter at SCP21 online. And so I've gotten a little bit of responses from it, which is more than I thought I was going to get. A lot of likes, a lot of comments. I think that a lot of these things are kind of fun to do from time to time, just because it kind of is different. Instead of, and it's not spammy because you're just doing one a day. It's not a consistent barrage on the timeline there. So like for instance, today I posted the favorite Federation enemy for me was the Klingons. Between all the series, they were the most interesting with the lore and how they were portrayed, and the interactions from the Federation and TOS, TNG and DS9. I'm not a fan of the Discovery ones because I think they're utter garbage. So Booth Ninja, who was unable to be on this episode due to family issues, said that he's partial to the Romulans. He likes their ships, and outside of the Borg, they always seem to be the most threatening, in his opinion. Which is true, because they have no honor and they're dicks. Like, that's just the nature of the beast there. So, yeah, anyways, that's kind of a little bit of what's been going on there. I do have some other interesting stuff, though. Since we talked about the TMNT at the beginning, I found some information on Reboot. And I was a little sad, to be honest. They posted, and mind you, this was somebody that runs the Reboot Revival online, and they more or less said that Reboot the Guardian Code would be premiering in February of 2018 on Netflix, and I have yet to see anything really come out from this. I mean, this particular article was posted in December. I haven't really heard anything about the Guardian Code at all. So, it's the absence of YTV, there's the mention of Netflix, and supposedly YTV is going to have it in Canada, but it would appear that in the United States, no TV network wants it. So, they made a deal with Netflix, and there's no like official premiere date. As far as this is showing, the obvious thing too is that the irony of the show that was reported by somebody in 2015, Heffron, said that for the year before he came up with the new concept for the show, he talked with people, he talked with broadcasters around the world. The one resounding thing, and he hates to break it to the fans, was nobody wanted the reboot of what the original show was. Nobody was willing to buy it. Which is unfortunate, because it was a good show. They even go on to say that the obvious answer is, you know, to keeping the show as it was, beyond bringing the original co-creators on board, was to go straight to Netflix if no traditional networks wanted it. Which, that would have been the way to go, but apparently that's not how it ended up. And then, of course, we've seen the random images of the higher-res CG stuff. That showed up back in August and September. I'm just really wondering where this show is going to be, you know, whether it's going to be out, when it's coming out. I loved the original show, and while it's extremely dated, I don't know when it's supposed to come out. They're saying this is supposed to be 2018. I'm just... It's a little crazy, you know, they have all these different things, and mind you, reboot.com still doesn't work. It's still got the 404 error page, which is even more entertaining when you go to think about it. I can't understand sometimes why companies have such an issue on this. And Reboot Revival GlitchBob452 on Twitter says that Rainmaker's official The Guardian Code page deactivated. It does not bode well for an upcoming series that's had very little promotion and is expected to debut in a month. Apparently next month now. And then the actors even said, it says, forget about February. It would appear that Reboot The Guardian Code is going to premiere in March. And this guy is on top of it. So if you want information on it, like he's basing this off one of the actors' promotion on their Instagram page. And then he says that a former Rainmaker contractor says, don't let another Ratchet & Clank or Reboot rebooted happen again. Even before it's debuted, it's already considered a failure within the company. Because it says, on December, there was a former contractor animator, and it says, worked at Rainmaker as a contractor for more than 3 years. People working around me, other animator supervisors, were all great, hardworking. If you stay late, there's pretty nice dinner options. Cons, budgets are terrible, and it seems like whatever is the current preferred project ends up sabotaging another. Crews are expected to meet insane quotas while understaffed, while other projects sit around literally doing nothing. The sacrifice they expect and what they often return hurts. I had worked for 3 to 4 years and felt used and just about ready to give up on the career altogether. That's insane. And like I said, the fact that Reboot.com doesn't even work, it's had a 404 error page for the last 5 years. Or, you know, since they announced the Guardian Code, they revamped it, or were going to revamp it, and it's had the 404, but it had the original reboot stuff. I don't know, I'm kind of sick of this. Companies trying to, like, cash in on old stuff. While I enjoy some of the revivals, I think that it's kind of garbage in that essence. They're sabotaging themselves. And this guy on the RebootRevival.com is awesome for news on this. Because apparently the Sydney, Scotia, and Ty Wood, both people that are supposed to be on the new reboot, said that it's supposed to come out in March of 2018. It's listed on their Instagram pages on that. Yeah, so I'm wondering how badly this is screwed up. That it's not getting the attention it should. So, yeah, there was apparently another Spy Kids movie that was supposed to come out in January on Netflix, and it has yet to launch, which is not surprising. I guess this particular guy that's in charge of it. Yeah. So... and apparently, Tywood.com, somebody thought it was funny to check the source code beneath his webpage. Tywood.com says, you know, is Austin Vector and the thing. They have, for the Guardian Code, a variety of source code pieces. And so they looked in the meta keywords, and it says actor, Bob, code, chorus, entertainment, guardian, hexadecimal, mainframe, media, megabyte, Netflix, original, Rainmaker, reboot, series. So it looks like they're still going to have megabyte, obviously, hexadecimal. Sounds like Bob's going to be back. And then you've got mainframe. So if this ever sees the light of day, it remains to be seen. They've got some kind of a weird clock, and it says coming soon, Ty Wood as Austin Vector and Reboot the Guardian Code. And it's a really chintzy website, poorly made. I'm not holding out much hope for this show at this point. I think it's going to bomb. I really do. They've not only not promoted this, but they've not done anything with the franchise. So I don't know. I don't have much hope for this. I wanted to have hope for it. I love animation. I love, you know, the fact that, you know, say what you will about designs of shows, Transformers, Batman, or really any superhero show, and Ninja Turtles are really the only staples from the 80s and 90s that can continuously come up with a new series and do a proper job at it. They can completely reboot it, redesign it, revoice it, everything. And yet, it still comes out as gold every time. Now, that's a model you should be going after. The fact that Rainmaker, since taking over Mainframe, has not been able to keep to a schedule on anything, really doesn't bode well for that company. And I hate saying that because I love animation, I love animation companies, and I love the projects that they're all involved with, but they should be following, in essence, those particular... I mean, look at Transformers and Ninja Turtles. They no sooner end a show, they've already got another one announced. And yeah, it may be a little too soon in my opinion, but you got to strike the ball while it's hot if you want the proper marketing and you want to keep the fires going. And the TMNT Twitter for Ninja Turtles has been on fire lately between the actors' videos and the various graphics. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're doing awesome at it. And so, like, this, I feel like this dropped the ball on more than one area. So I don't know. What do you guys think on this? This is just something that's been bothering me on it. We do have like the full cast at this point. Like they have Ty Wood as Austin, Sidney Scotia as Enigma, Nicholas Lay as Mark Rowan, Kirsten Roback as Judy, Alex Sahara as Alpha Sentinel, Bob Fraser as Sorcerer, John Emmett Tracy is Coach Gorley, Robert Leaf as Mr. Dulesky, Hannah Zirk, Little Gamer Girl, AJ Freeze, Parker, Timothy E. Brummond as Megabyte. I gotta hear this guy just so that I know. Gavin Langelo as AJ Stone, Octavian Call as Enzo, and he's gonna be a kid again. Jessica Lee as Pogo Tech, Emmy Kamito as Yuriko. Hannah Vanden Bygart as Vera. They got Sherry, Miss Cody, Trey, and then a high school teacher. So it doesn't look like they have anybody cast yet for Bob, even though the name's been dropped, or Hexadecimal at this point, or even Enzo's sister. Can't remember her name right now. But the fact that they do have Enzo showing up and they do have Megabyte's name listed is good. I need to hear. And I guess they filmed 20 episodes, so we'll see how this plays out as the show goes on. So Shirley Milner is Hexadecimal. So I'm going to have to look that up too, because I want to compare vocals to the original and kind of see what they're capable of, these actors. So anyways, I'm going to take a quick break, come back after this. So since we're talking animated universes in this particular episode, and we didn't really get to touch on the topic of the evolutions as we wanted to, which I'll probably save for TFG1 Mike's and Booth Ninja's Return. Because I really don't want to talk about it without a co-host to kind of bounce things off of. I think it needs that to serve a proper point. So I think that it's kind of funny to go in and look at some animated series that we may or may not have known were coming in 2018. Deadpool the animated series, going to be picked up by FXX, an offshoot of FX, so basically created by the and produced by Archer people. Persona 5, which I'm not sure what that is. Batman Ninja, which Warner Brothers is doing. A little bit weird. New Mega Man, Cartoon Network in conjunction with Dentsu Entertainment. So I guess Mike will have to do another Pixels in the Animation review show. So they're reviving and rebooting the Mega Man animation in 2018 or later. It's going to be ranged at kids for 6 to 9 years old, along with parents who grew up with the original. And then they're going to have Mega Man's alter ego, Aki Light. He's set to be a normal, upbeat schoolboy robot, but when activated, his skin reforms into a computer code and visual pyrotechnics. And then he's going to have his Mega Buster helmet and cannon and whatnot, suit. And then Rush will return along with new ones such as Mega Mini, whatever that means. I hope that it's not terrible. Attack on Titan Season 3, Constantine is going to be back in the CW. Fairy Tale, whatever that is. She-Ra, which Netflix has picked up for 2018 release. Reboot of the She-Ra Princess of Power offshoot of He-Man. So that'll be kind of cool. One Punch Season 2. Gorillaz the Animated Series. Tokyo Ghoul. Canon. Yeah, there's. I'm kind of looking over a massive list here, but there's a lot I don't know what it is. But some of the ones we are getting are going to be kind of cool. So we'll have to wait and see on that. So really don't know where else to take this one. So instead of bumbling and rambling on, I'm going to cut this close. So be sure to check out SFI.org if you haven't already for Star Trek related classes. And they have all kinds of stuff on pop culture as well. It's like $5 a year to join. It's pretty cool. I've been having a lot of fun with it. So yeah, it's... If you want to connect with me on Star Trek Online, you can find me at Steve Megatron. That's my my handle on there. So usually I play as Phillips at Steve Megatron, which is my Kelvin version of the Enterprise floating around on the USS Future Imperfect NCC 1863A. So be sure to see me on there. And till next time... Get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Yo, listen up, Happy Halla from Ron. Naked Mole Rap is the name of the song. Here's a story in all its glory. Ain't hiding nothing, you'll know what the truth is. Haran met Rufus. Never heard a cat fart, never heard a puppy purr. My dad's allergic to every kind of fur. So I search for hairless pets on the internet. Saw a JPEG of a pink thing.
Gonna need sunscreen.
What is that?
That freaky thing. That's right.
Come on, y'all. Let the girlie sing. Uh-huh. What is that?
That freaky thing. That's right.
I heard Smarty Mart was having a sale on a hairless pink rodent with a long skinny tail. It seemed to be this could be a solution. The perfect pet for my dad's sensitive constitution. So the manager came to open the cage. He said,
you know this pet's hairless.
I said I couldn't care less. Handed him to me, said,
be careful, don't drop it. And do you want this cage?
No, I'll keep him in my pocket.
Yeah.
What is that?
That freaky thing.
Come on, y'all. Let the girl sing. What is that?
That freaky thing.
I'm gonna buy me some bling bling.
Listen to the naked mole rat.
Can I get a booyah?
Booyah!
Or can I get a booyah?
Booyah!
Look at the camera, say cheese.
Cheese!
Smile for the camera, say cheese.
Cheese!
We go to Bueno Nacho, Chimarito, and a Naco. Always grande size, and why not? I'm buying Rufus in my pocket. You can't stop it. Can't top it, don't drop it. You might just pop it. Rufus and Ron Stoppable with our best friend, Kim Possible. We're not afraid of any attack. I say, yo, KP, we got your back.
Hi-ya!
What is that?
That freaky thing.
Yes, that's right. It's a naked mole rat.
Come on, y'all. Let the girl sing. What is that?
Super freaky thing.
Come on, y'all, let the girlie sing.
Listen to the naked mole rat. Listen to the naked mole rat.